toi. Alors je sens en moi mon cœur qui Delamar Kenny. I am your host, and I am hosting today the first of the TV podcast TV episodes for what was formerly known as Pardon My French, and that is today French Yourself. So welcome. I am by myself today, and this is a very small tidbit of what the show is going to be. It is going to be, like I said, podcast TV. And that is exciting. That is being set up. It is going to be so much better than the one that you're either watching or listening to today. Just know that whenever you're going to see an episode pop up from now on, you're going to have an outlet, a way to go and watch it. Also on several platforms, and we will inform you on that. But for today, I just wanted to do a small, hey, we are here. If you have us from previously downloading and having us in your list as part of my French, then you still have us, and we are French Yourself. And if you have not, now's the time to do it, because that's going to be great for you to, I guess, get reacquainted with me and get the reassurance that many of you wanted, to know that I am staying around and that this podcast is still going to tap into so much of the health information and a lot of, you know, the information I've shared over the years that you have benefited from. And that you've loved. And more than that, you know, I think that I am going to be having a blast, an absolute blast. First of all, not just being talking to myself and having Jill as an executive producer, being on a platform and a network that is SharpPoint Content, that is, you know, the new division that we co-founded together, and that we have attached to his existing production services company, SharpPod, where that is open here over 12 years ago, and producing motion pictures for the United States and other countries, and, you know, huge TV ad campaigns. And the fact that we're going to make this type of service, you know, 360 degrees available to a content creator and to brands, literally for like digital content and social media and unscripted TV, and having added this network to do podcast TV, but not just for me, not just French Yourself podcast, but also for so many women that I love, so many women that I've discovered and that I have had so much experience with them, whether knowledge, whether, you know, emotions, whether having learned something, and having these women becoming broadcasters and hosting their podcast on our network and producing them, whether they are in the United States or in Europe or in England or anywhere, is going to be a blast. And we're going to do a lot of co-hosting, we're going to do some cooking together, we're going to do a lot of, you know, serious talk and, you know, bring awareness on things, but also a lot of, you know, shit talking and gossiping, and, you know, I hope you will love it. And for today, I am addressing two questions that I've gotten in my inbox. And I have to say, I was really happy to get back to answering those questions. And I feel like this is right up the alley, right up your alley and my alley, as far as having it on this episode. So this episode is going to be short. I'm going to answer those questions, and hopefully you will all head to getting French yourself on your devices and let it just notify you this week when we start launching and telling you where we are, where are the images, who's coming, what we're doing. That being said, I am going to read you the first question that I got, and this one is about intermittent fasting. And if you've been on my social media, you've been watching, and I've answered it, but I want to get more into it because it's correlated with the other question. And like I said, the sound quality today might be shitty. I'm still home today doing this. It won't be that way as we start elaborating with the podcast and really making it a very, very seamless production, although I can promise that it will be great as far as my performance, because I suck at this and that's not my job. So that hasn't been my job. It's going to have to become my job eventually. But for now, you'll have to cut me some slack. I get sidetracked. Let's read the question. So, if only I had prepared the question. So, I'll pass you the whole hi Ingrid, whatever. I've been doing intermittent fasting for many years, and I am starting to feel like it's no longer working for me, and it might be time for me to stop or to make it shorter. Maybe I am intermittent fasting too long. Can you please tell me what you think? So two things. I wasn't sure whether the question was, I've been intermittent fasting for too many years, or I've been intermittent fasting too long a window. And the answer is not going to be different for either or, in the sense that it's not about what I think. The way that I approach intermittent fasting is very different from any other health practitioners, or, you know, I want to say, because we're all our own health practitioners, but professionals or doctors or whoever it is that you're following in intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting is something that many of us, and I've heard it from so many of you, have been doing your whole life, unbeknownst to you, that it is even either a medical practice, as it has been in France, or, you know, a health and wellness biohacking practice, or a weight loss practice. Many of us have, over the years, said, I didn't even know this was intermittent fasting. There are many days in the week that I didn't feel like having breakfast, or I only had two meals a day and I was absolutely fine. I am not going to go over the whole thing. Intermittent fasting, first of all, let's get into that really quickly. Intermittent fasting is something that I have actually kind of gone quiet about, because social media has this way of making too much of a good thing a bad thing. I have been so outspoken about that. Intermittent fasting is something that has been recommended by cardiologists in France for the longest time. As a matter of fact, my dad, who had, you know, cardiac issues and was followed by a cardiologist and had surgeries, had been prescribed intermittent fasting as a practice several times a week. And the reason for that is because as he aged, digestion had become complicated. He couldn't eat a lot of things. I'll give you an example. My mom would go into a fucking rage when she saw him grabbing radishes. He loved radishes, but it gave him a lot of trouble digesting and something called aerophagia. So aerophagia is, you know, this buildup of air in the body that makes you blow up and really causes a lot of distress, not just going to the bathroom or digesting or losing weight, but it causes distress also with your cardiovascular. And the reason for that is that the second your digestive system is under distress or is constantly solicited by difficult things to digest. So imagine 3 times a day, if you're constantly eating, your cortisol levels are going to at some point start going haywire. The reason for that is very often the people that are intermittent fasting as a thought out practice, a behavior that is chosen for whatever reason, health reason, or improving your circadian cycle and, you know, your release of melatonin and your sleeping habits, whatever it is, helping with your hormones. Some of you, it is about having PCOS and having, you know, your adrenals needing to get some rest. The bottom line with intermittent fasting, and like for people like my dad, was in the first place to never ever restrict a certain amount of calories by cutting out a meal. So with intermittent fasting, whatever it is that you would usually eat, knowing that intermittent fasting is not a diet practice, intermittent fasting is something that it would tell someone to do that came with a concern for weight loss, but not because they are overweight due to overeating or poor eating habits. I would say to someone to do intermittent fasting if they are eating healthy. They're not necessarily overweight, but they are not their ideal weight for themselves and need to lose weight. And they are not being responsive to diet. They are not being responsive to carb restrictions or calorie deficit or workouts. And at that point, that person would automatically be able to correlate with the stuff that I'm teaching, that or that I'm preaching, that, you know, the problem is hormonal response. Not everybody needs to lose weight because they're overeating. The person that comes to me, like I say, has tried everything before and has tried diet. And at some point when you don't respond to diet and you're the one that comes and tells me, I'm the one at the table that eats the least. I only eat vegetables and proteins. I don't even eat a lot of carbs. I don't like sweets. I don't drink alcohol. And yet I cannot lose weight. At that point, we know we have a problem with your hormonal response. And you probably have what we call metabolic injury. So that your metabolic hormones are no longer signaling to you what it is that you're in deficit of or what it is that you're lacking and doesn't even know. So you have to start eating out of behavior, chosen behavior. So if I didn't get sidetracked here, just so you know, someone that comes to me and says, I need to lose weight, intermittent fasting is not the way that I would go first. But someone who has been having an unresponsive metabolism, to any type of wonderful health tweak they've done, whether it's following a better diet, whether it's implementing, even re-implementing fatty acids and trying to repair the damage they've done with excessive diets or extreme diets. But we together and, you know, kind of reading the stuff that I've been speaking about or listening to my podcast or, you know, putting two and two together that you went into premature menopause at 30 or that you're, you know, you definitely have PCOS. If you have PCOS, Or if you've been testing your hormones and the doctor said, well, your middle range with the thyroid, your hypothyroid, but your middle range. So middle range is like this vortex where so many women are totally disregarded and not listened to with the ailments of someone who's suffering from a thyroid impairment. But it's not serious enough because it's middle, it's in the middle that the doctor is going to help them. And rightfully so. I think, you know, all to the doctor's credit not to want to just throw medication at everybody. But these women are still impaired enough to have ailments that seem so superficial to a doctor. And I get that, but not to them. And like, so for example, if you have a sluggish thyroid, which would make you hypothyroidal, but middle range, okay, nothing dangerous. The doctor has no reason to medicate you. And he goes on about your weight. You know, if your metabolism has gone sluggish from it, well, just, you know, eat healthier and, you know, cut down carbs and do cardio. That's it. So you're left with that. And you're left with a superficial kind of go on a diet and whatever and go lose weight like everybody else does. Of course, that's not the doctor's role to figure out what it is. But that's because in an ancient world, you would not be here with this sluggish problem because you would be practicing. You would be a functional medicine practitioner for yourself. And you would be doing all these things that I preach and that don't go against medical treatment. As a matter of fact, they accompany medical treatment beautifully and they accompany any type of, you know, healing process they prescribe. So intermittent fasting will come at that point for this person that has come and cannot lose weight because she's middle range, hyperthyroid, hypothyroid. And this, you figure it out, or middle range with thyroid, or PCOS, or someone that really, really has a problem with inflammation, hormonal inflammation imbalance. But doctors are not finding anything that's so serious that they want to start giving you bioidentical hormones, or, you know, they're going to put you on the pill if your period is fucked up. And then I come in and I go, okay, let's go functional. Let's go to the root. Start with simply inulin. Start eating probiotics. Don't take probiotics, eat them. Kefir yogurt, labneh, fermented cheeses. And even if you're lactose intolerant, by the way, the best fermented cheese, the ones that are the most fermented, or even kefir. You know, if you're not making the coconut kefir that you know, was gangster chic, which is made with coconut milk, which is not lactose, you can have kefirs that are made with cheese, so they what you think is lactose, but there's no lactose in it for people that are lactose intolerant. That's another thing. So, you know, you can have that, but I get sidetracked. So telling someone that's coming to me and that we figured out that the problem with their hormonal response, the reason why the waistline is not budging, even though they're the ones who eat the least at the table, that eat the best in their household, you know, of course, these things that we're doing today that we think make us lose weight, but we are applying things on ourselves that diet regimes, like they call them régime in French, diet plans are really, really, you know, normally created them for people that have a problem with discipline and overeating, or people that have poor eating habits because they haven't been educated on what to eat. So I would tell someone that's that person, not a person having a problem with their discipline, or not person overeating, but a person that might be binging once in a while because they're lacking something. And you know, that's the next question, but I might not even put it in this episode because this is something we want to talk about and maybe focus on, and maybe tomorrow I'll do the other one. We'll see. You know me. I'm not always very regimented with timing, and I had the longest episodes, but the one I would tell to intermittent fast is the person that I think is very close to a metabolic impairment, and so that usually would come right away from cortisol levels are fucked up. Why are they fucked up? You're digesting all day. So if you're following some diet to tell you need to eat 4 times a day, 4 fucking times a day, you're eating great food, whole food, amazing food, no sugar, no fluff, fluff, whatever, alternative everything, great. And you know what? The problem with the fucking alternatives and the constant inclusion of a lot of vegetables, cruciferous vegetables, fantastic. I'm not going against vegetables, but you're doing that 4 times a day. Plus, including a snack of something that might be an alternative to something you would be eating with carbs that's not good for you, which your body doesn't even know what the fuck it is. So it's giving it, extra work. You're digesting 4 times a day. You're digesting 4 times a day. And 4 times a day, you have your system that has to have aromatizing of proteins in it, breaking down of all the nutrients and distribution. Your ghrelin hormone has to create the whole process of creating fat inside of it from this, pulling it, and then has to signal to the hypothalamus in your brain. And then your leptin hormone, which is your other metabolic hormone, which is the one that's called satiation hormone. But really, it does a lot more than just satiate you. It's actually the gauge, like a gauge in, a cistern of gasoline in a car, and tells you what's in it. But that one's fucked up by now because you've constantly digesting. No rest for the wicked, they say, but no rest for your digestive system. So by that time, your leptin hormone has so much to do. It has to decide how much of the sugar in the food you just ate, because this sugar, even in the best food, right, it's good sugar, has to be taken, distributed to your liver for later, your muscles for later, and the rest should be distributed for to burn energy. The problem is that it's also fucked up from having constant dieting, constant stuff that you're doing to your body to do it good, and that is actually not doing so great. And so your leptin hormone is a little bit impaired in the way that it signals and in the way that it gauges what's coming in. That being said, it's also 4 times a day that you're digesting, right? Or 3 times a day, 3 meals. Doesn't matter how bad, how good the meals or how small the meals. Many of you are actually relying on salad. That's the first thing that is the most exhausting for your digestive. Listen to the other podcast if you haven't. And if you have, I'm not going to bore you with that because you know. So now your cortisol levels are freaking going up the roof. By the end of the day, when your cortisol levels are supposed to start going down midday, right, to help you unwind at night, they're like freaking, going up, up, up. Cortisol levels are your stress hormones. And when you say stress, it could be from external noises, people screaming, whatever it is, stress. You're stressed about your job, but also about internal stuff you do to your body, stuff you endure. For example, you have a torn muscle, but you take a painkiller and you go and abuse this torn muscle, but you unbeknownst to you, as far as the pain is not being signaled to your brain, but it is being signaled to your adrenals, and it is being signaled to your cortisol. So the cortisol is going to start pumping and pumping and pumping. So to this person, especially the ones that eat a lot of salad and raw vegetables, because that's a fucking job for your aromatase enzymes to work and work to your digestive. This exhaustion is what's going to bring the cortisol levels up. When the cortisol levels are up, you start having insulin resistance. Insulin resistance literally makes you resist insulin, which means you hold it. And where do you hold it? In your midsection. In all of these areas that are female areas where we puff up. So over here, over here, over here. And so when I'm saying over here, I'm showing, because now we're visual as well, under your arms where we get a little flabby, or this kind of like fat area you get in your back, right where your bra squeezes. All this to say that this is where intermittent fasting is great. So when someone's asking me how long they should intermittent fast, honestly, this is not for you to ask me. You should intermittent fast if you have an issue like that and you want to give your body a break. Now, it is very possible that your digestion's fantastic some days with the stuff you eat, and you've eaten three meals. You're on vacation. On vacation, I eat three meals. I like to eat three meals. I listen to myself. I've been intermittent fasting my whole life, not knowing it's been intermittent fast. And a lot of people have said that to me, including men. Now, on the days that you work out, for example, listen to yourself. Have you been intermittent fasting too many years? I don't know. You should know. Don't ask me. This is the problem with the sociocultural factor that's out there, where we think that our decisions to drink celery juice are smarter than the body. The body knows better. Celery juice, you know, it's that guy that decided that that's what's great. Not every day. That's not, you know, that's not what our ancestors did. Trust your body. Listen to it. Don't go with the stuff like the most important meal of the day is breakfast. Or, you know, for a good functioning brain, you need to. That's something you say to the kids because we don't know how they're going to eat when they get to school. You need to eat when you want to eat. The bottom line is, if you are intermittent fasting, most of the time it is to offset a habit of eating so many times a day by meals that have been set by society. So the ancients, and actually the ancients, you know, Kabbalists and Talmudists, rabbis, you know, hundreds of years ago, only ate once a day. But they ate the amount of calories we're supposed to eat in a whole day. So that's the thing with intermittent fasting. So when you're asking me, have I been intermittent fasting too long? You can intermittent fast your whole life. Just don't call it that. But have breakfast when you feel like it. Choose the meal that is the least penalizing as far as partaking in your family time, partaking in pleasure, or partaking in taking a break from work at lunch. I always intermittent fasted or fast for breakfast, if I do at all. But if I wake up and I'm hungry, I'm going to fucking eat, and I'm going to listen to what I want to eat. That is not a license to eat. That is to say that day I could be very mindful what I'm going to eat the other two meals to make sure that I don't overwhelm my digestive system with three times of solicitation and asking it to process, you know, all these nutrients, break them down and distribute them. Doesn't matter what you eat. As a matter of fact, like I said, very often the focus that you put on eating salads and just vegetables because you ate three times today, that might be your downfall, because those are very hard to break down. These cruciferous vegetables, especially if they're raw, for example, or salad. Salad, people that eat big bowls of salad every day are the ones that are most likely to have hormonal imbalance and inflammation, because it is crudité and it is not easy for the digestive system to break down. Very often you'll feel like you have a little bit of hyperphagia and you'll be burping, like, you know, that's why. And it's not that salad makes you fat, but salad overwhelms your digestives. That's why we intermittent fast. So are you intermittent fasting too long? Possibly, because you've become an intermittent asshole, like people that become intermittent, simply you're an asshole, meaning, you know, this especially North America, and don't get me wrong, I'm from there too, so I can say that, but there is this thing of too much of a good thing and doing it more. Eat if you want to eat. Like, if you're hungry, chances are your intermittent fast, if you force it, is going to cause high cortisol levels from putting your body in distress and having to go and, you know, scrounge for whatever you have in your reserves for energy or for fuel. So too long, 11 hours is what I did. I really went with what I feel. If I got hungry sooner, then I ate. I have my coffee when I intermittent fast, and I have it with oat milk and Simply Inulin, and then Some people say, oh no, but this specialist or this guy says, no, I'm sorry, this is not Yom Kippur. There's no rule. This is not a prescription. Something I do for me. My digestive system with Simply Inulin in my coffee and my oat milk. Oat milk with three ingredients, salt, water, and oats, does not distress the digestive system. And so on top of it, Simply Inulin is digestible. For me, it works and it really does the trick. So if I'm going to intermittent fast, it's because that's how I feel that day. And mainly, if you wake up wanting something like sourdough bread, well, if you need sourdough bread, there's a reason. There's a deficit somewhere in your body that day. Sourdough bread is actually brain food. So it does affect, you know, it's going to give you brain fog if you're missing whatever it is. And it's something in your gut. But I'll get to that another time. There's reasons why you're going to crave in the morning, for example, butter. And you should have some rather than let your body go into this resistance and bring your cortisol levels up. And then your intermittent fast is fucking stupid. It's going to counteract. If that makes sense. You should not go over 12 hours when you're intermittent fasting. It just doesn't work. The body needs to have food and it's going to have storage. You've rested your digestive, all right, which is what's the point? That the point is to rest your digestive. But going over 12 hours is going to counteract. So don't forget, intermittent fasting is not about bringing the amount of calories or carbs you eat down. It's about eating the same amount, whatever it is you do for your diet. So make sure your diet is separate from that. And if you're dieting, don't intermittent fast. That's not the same shit. And if you've had an eating disorder, don't intermittent fast unless you've had that under control for years. Intermittent fasting has nothing to do with losing weight. It has to do, however, with weight control and response to hormonal response to, you know, nutrition and to fitness, whatever you do to getting that hormonal response to be restored. And weight loss is a byproduct, if that makes sense. But don't make intermittent fasting the one aspect of your weight loss, because that's not what it is. This is the one aspect of your hormonal balance, your digestive health, your gut health, and controlling your cortisol levels, preventing having adrenal issues, preventing having an exacerbated tendency to lean towards having PCOS, or for people who have PCOS, being really more careful with digesting too much. Realize that if you are someone that has a tendency to eat a lot of health food, meaning that you insist a lot on these healthy foods and whole foods, you're most likely actually to have an issue with digestive exhaustion and causing cortisol levels, because the less is more idea is no longer, and it's more like the better and I can eat more, or giving your body a lot of these alternatives that are strange to the body. And so the time that it takes to recognize how to digest it and, you know, process it and break it down and where to distribute it, what function and what to store, how to pull the sugar out of it. Which sugar is that? Is it fat for fuel? This is actually where you want to be careful. So I hope that answers the question. I think that you need to really think about, and this is for another episode, and I think maybe even for a masterclass, but you need to really think about removing the thought process of making this decision. Forget it's called intermittent fasting, and just try to remember if you've ever done it. Did you ever skip breakfast? If you're not a millennial and you're, you know, older, you didn't think any other way than breakfast is the best meal of the day, the most important meal of the day. You know, you have to eat 3 times a day. Try to remove this sociocultural boundaries, sociocultural rules, and think for yourself. What if I told you that we should be a little bit more like the panthers in the wild? They hunt and eat when they're hungry. They run when they feel like it. They don't just go and like incessantly run and do cardio. The bottom line is, the reason why we're told to do cardio is because we have overweight to lose, right? But if we did what our ancestors did, I'm talking back to ancient history, 1 meal a day. 1 meal a day, 1 big meal a day. The sages, they believed in the power of prayer, the mysticism of meditation and concentration and perceiving things, having more intuition. And they believed that if you bothered your digestive more than once a day, rather than giving it one big job, you altered all these wonderful abilities. So why don't we try to be a little bit more mystical, having more divinity than we do today, and make these decisions, not decisions, feelings that we answer to. So I hope you enjoyed this. I think that I am going to keep the next question for a quick episode tomorrow, and then we'll start with the real shit. The real producers and, you know, all that shebang. And the really, really cool equipment, because we're getting really cool equipment as well. The next question was about another woman who wrote to me and said, I eat really healthy all week. Vegetables, protein, I really don't even eat junk. But once a week, I get seized with this horrible need to binge. And I'm wondering what I'm doing wrong. I'm not overweight, but I have always to struggle with these 5-7 kilos on and off constantly. What am I doing wrong? I think that a lot of this answer was already in this, but I will answer that tomorrow, and it will go on French Yourself TV podcast. For today, you will be able to watch it here on Instagram, but that's not going to go forever. It's just going to be this one. Tomorrow's answering this question, just so that I can put the audio and get you guys to download it, so that you'll be ready to get our notifications this week when I'm launching my first episode, co-hosting with Jill and having the pleasure of having Yvonne co-producing and hosting a little bit too, so we can get on their nerves a little. If you have any questions, send them. We're going to also put like a sort of hotline way that you can get in touch and give us your messages, leave voice notes, voice messages, questions. We can chat with you.